Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Before we begin, let me encourage you to go to my website, and you'll be able to find that information on the bottom of this page. Or let me just, for our podcast listeners, tell you that it's www.pastorvic.com or www.pastorvicsnuggets.com. And either way, you'll have access to all kinds of free resources. And I want to emphasize that it's all free. Freely we receive, freely we give. Now, let's move on. Now, what we know about God, we find from the Bible. No other source. The Bible is a source of all of our knowledge about God. And one of the things that we learn from the Bible is that God and His Word cannot change. And that's the important emphasis today. Our confidence in God is based upon this simple truth. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what's important to understand is that in the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, and the New Testament, also known as the New Covenant, God gives His word in both cases that He will not lie, nor will He change. This means that all the promises that God makes, He will keep. And the basis for faith in both the Old and New Covenant is that we believe that God always keeps His word. I mean, in practical terms, you know, you may have someone who you know, and you know that they are trustworthy because they always keep their word. Well, let me tell you that God is even more trustworthy because He never fails. Now, I have to admit that some people have said to me that they're confused by when they read the Bible, especially the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I've heard some say that it seems like God is angry in the Old Testament, and then He seems so compassionate and merciful in the New Testament. So does this mean that God has changed? Now, it may seem that the Lord is harsh and unrelenting in the Old Testament and gentle and compassionate in the New Testament. However, the Lord does not change. So how do we account for the difference in how we see the Lord God? Well, the difference in our perspective is because they represent two different covenants. The Old Testament represents the covenant of the law. The New Testament represents the covenant of grace. Let me assure you, God does not have a split personality. Now, it'd be easy to make that mistake if you didn't realize, like I said, that the two testaments or the two covenants represent two different approaches to God and His people. The old covenant is a covenant that the Lord made with the Israelites. Moses was the mediator, and he was also the intercessor between God and the people of Israel. Whereas in the new covenant or in the New Testament, the covenant is between the Lord and Jesus Christ. Jesus is the mediator, and He's the intercessor for us. And we'll have more to say about that as time goes on. Now remember, a covenant is an agreement that God makes with His people. As I said, the old covenant is a conditional covenant. That is, God sets all the terms. Blessings come with obedience, and hardship comes with disobedience or sin. All you have to do is read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and you'll see the distinction. Now, the Old Covenant is called by several names. It's called the Mosaic Law, the Torah, the Pentateuch, or simply the Law. The important point is that the covenant was between God and the Jewish people. Moses was the mediator between the people and God. On the other hand, the new covenant, which was prophesied in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, and fulfilled by Jesus Christ, is a better covenant based upon better promises. That's from the book of Hebrews. As a matter of fact, the book of Hebrews uses the term better about 12 times to describe how much better the new covenant is than the old covenant. The new covenant is an unconditional covenant. It was established by God the Father and ratified by Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus is, as I've said before, the mediator and the intercessor for anyone, Jew or non-Jew, or as the Bible uses the term, Gentile. All that required is that you would believe upon him, Jesus, and follow him. Not just simply believe, but follow him. Now, the distinction between grace and law. The new covenant is a covenant of grace, not law. As a matter of fact, the word grace comes from the Greek word charis, and it's defined as, in Bible dictionary, as acceptable benefit, favor, gift, gracious God, or I should say joy, liberality, pleasure, thanksworthy. In short, grace can be thought of as an undeserved or unmerited gift from God. This grace means that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is transferred to us, and that this transfer is, or imputation, is not by our goodness or our effort to maintain the law, but it is a gift of God because we've placed our trust in Jesus Christ. That's why the new covenant is unconditional. It doesn't depend on what we do, because Jesus did it all once and forever. Now, getting back to the issue of whether God changes. Well, we said earlier that God makes covenants with humankind, with mankind, and in those covenants are promises, Old Testament promises as well as New Testament promises. The promises the Lord makes in the Old Covenant are different from the promises of the New Covenant. Let me give you some examples. Number one, in the Old Testament or the covenant, the Lord came for a nation, to create a nation known as Israel. But in the New Testament or covenant, the Lord comes for the individual, and therefore it's described as a better covenant. In the Old Covenant, it was about God calling a nation, Israel, to himself. In the New Covenant, it's about God calling every individual to himself. Three, in the Old Covenant, God was found in the tabernacle or the temple. That's where God resided. But in the New Covenant, the believer is the temple of God. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Receive that by faith. Four, in the Old Covenant, righteousness came by works or following and adhering to the law of God. But under the New Covenant, righteousness comes by faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. Five, in the Old Covenant, the promise was that Israel would become a great nation. In the New Covenant, the promise is that whoever believes in Jesus Christ would have eternal life, and the Holy Spirit living in that person in this life. Six, the Old Covenant is about physical blessings, prosperity, a mighty nation, being an example to the rest of the world. But in the New Covenant, it's about spiritual blessings, eternal life, living in the kingdom of God, even here while we're living on earth. Now, I would love to spend more time talking about the covenants, and it's really beyond the scope of this message. But if you'd like more teaching on covenants, then I encourage you to go to my website and download the free book. It's called Seeing the Forest for the Trees. Or I have an article which was written for World Map called Covenants, God's Purposes Revealed. Both of these are available, again, at PastorVic.com. Now, let's get back. God always keeps his promises. Not sometimes, not when it's convenient, but God always keeps his promises. The unchanging nature of our Father in heaven is so essential, an anchor to our faith. What he says in his word, he will accomplish. His word never comes back without fulfilling for that for which it was sent. Remember Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it, says the Lord. God doesn't change. Again, I can't emphasize that so much. In the Old Testament, the word says that God does not change. Matter of fact, in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said that he will not do? or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? And then in Psalms 33:11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. So in the Old Testament, we see that he does not change. But we also see in the New Testament that God does not change. For instance, in James chapter 1, verse 16, James says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." There's no change. And then in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." So we can have confidence. We can have confidence that he does not change. We have confidence that the promises he makes are available to us. And that brings us to signs, wonders, and miracles. And they're available to you today because God does not change. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." What was true then is true today. Power and authority in Jesus' name are still available to those who believe. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, verse 12. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." I know that's hard for us to receive. It's hard for us to understand. But God's word doesn't change. If he said it then, it's true today. Do you need healing? Jesus has given you healing. Both in the Old and New Covenant, the scriptures say about Jesus the Messiah. In Isaiah, for instance, in chapter 53, verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed." And when you research and examine that word healed, it's talking about physical and emotional healing. And then in the New Testament, the same thing. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Claim that for yourself. Our God has power to heal. Do you believe him? Do you need deliverance? Jesus has given you deliverance. Jesus has delivered you from sin, from guilt, and shame. In the Lord's eyes, you are righteous and clean. Don't let anyone try to place condemnation on you. You are God's child. You are loved. You are favored. As a matter of fact, in Romans 8:1, and I'm sure you're familiar with this verse, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Do you need to be set free? You may be set free from your past or the circumstances or even the present things that hold you in bondage. Remember these two things. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away and all things are now new. Now I realize that because of old ways of thinking or strongholds, we need to tear those strongholds down. There are old habits that we have we need to discard and replace with new habits. But nevertheless, you are a new creation in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Step out in your new Christ-centered life. Don't focus on the past, but focus on your new life in Christ. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 36, it says that Jesus then said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Don't let the devil or anyone else imprison you in the box of your past. You are free begin to walk in that freedom which Jesus Christ purchased for you. Every time you allow Jesus to heal, deliver, and set you free, it becomes a testimony that Jesus is God. And there is nothing he won't do for you because you glorify your Father in heaven. And that's a key connection. When God does something for you, we're called to be witnesses for him. And so we need to testify of what God has done and what God is doing in our lives today. Jesus has the power to heal all kinds of sickness and disease. But most importantly, Jesus has the power to forgive sin. Let me close with this beautiful story about Jesus and a paralytic man, which clearly shows that Jesus is God, because he demonstrates his power and authority to forgive sin. The story is found in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It's also found in Matthew chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 5. But in the Mark account, Jesus was ministering to the people the word of truth, the words of the kingdom. He entered a city called Capernaum, and of course the people in the region had already heard of the great miracles and signs and wonders that he had performed. So the multitude just gathered to where he was. And Jesus found himself in a house ministering to the crowds. There were so many people that the house was filled and it was overflowing into the surrounding area. Now here's the important part of the story. There was a paralytic man, and he must have heard about the great things that Jesus had done or was doing. And the man's faith was so strong that he persuaded four of his friends to carry him on his bed to where Jesus was, so that he might be healed. But of course, it was so crowded that they couldn't bring the paralytic man to Jesus. So they climbed up on the roof, they pulled the roof apart, lowered him into the midst of the house where Jesus was. And then in verse 5 it says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.'" There's a paralyzed man. And Jesus says to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now you might ask, why didn't Jesus say, "You're healed, rise up and walk"? But instead, Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven you." We see next why Jesus did what he did. Because apparently some of the scribes, of the religious leaders, heard him say, "Your sins are forgiven you." And they said, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Key. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But then Jesus immediately, he perceived in his spirit that they were condemning him for what he said. And then Jesus says in verse 9, "Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Arise and take up your bed and walk'?" Now obviously, it's easier to say you're forgiven than to rise and be healed. But this is the key to the whole illustration. Jesus says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately the guy stood up and picked up his bed and walked out of the house. And of course, all the people were amazed. They glorified God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." You see, Jesus alone has the authority to forgive sins. Sins of the past, sins of the present, and even sins of the future. In a single sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, he put to death the sinful nature and placed his Holy Spirit in every believer. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished. It's done." There's no longer any striving to find acceptance in God, because through Christ, you are accepted. You are part of the beloved. You are part of the family of God. But also remember that Romans 8:1, such a powerful verse, I spoke it before. "There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Don't condemn yourself. Realize that you're human. You will make mistakes, but always turn to him, for he is the one that can rescue you. He is the one that gave his life for you and that demonstrates how much he loves you. And then the scripture goes on in Romans, says, "Don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Sin no longer has a hold on you. Now, if you think it has a hold on you, it has a hold on you. But as you begin to renew your mind and realize that your focus needs to be on Jesus, your focus needs to be on listening to the Holy Spirit in your heart, then you will find that you will have victory after victory after victory, because this is what God has promised, and God always keeps His word. May you be richly blessed this day. May this message speak to you, and may your families be blessed. May your churches be blessed, and Lord, and may the Lord just pour out His anointing and His favor upon your life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you the next time. Amen.